This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fifth and final hour of the G-Bag Nation Home Run Derby is coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. You'll hear the play-by-play here on your Home of the Champs All-Star Game tomorrow. That broadcast will begin at 6 o'clock. So tomorrow at this time, you'll be listening to network coverage of the All-Star Game now featuring Corey Seager. We're going to get a proper round tripper here in just a second. It's also British Open Week. Rory and Scotty Scheffler are your betting favorites. So that'll be exciting later on this week. Thursday at 5, Frank Caliendo, the comedian, will join us here live in studio at 5 o'clock. Frank Caliendo, he has four appearances at the Addison Improv Friday and Saturday night. He's going to be in town. And if you didn't see, registration for Fan Bowl has gone alive. It's August 10th, brought to you by our good friends at Tolbert Garage Door Repair. And Woo. It's going to be at Hurtado in Arlington.
But you know the eating's going to be good out there, that's for sure.
Oh, and the booze is going to be flowing as well, man, because they got that awesome Haters Bar.
Oh, yes. Right, that's there. Usually right. Where we're posted up there, so, when we do the live shows.
Gosh, that's right. Going to be freaking fantastic. I'm going to dominate you guys in some bowl. I'm going to have to freshen up.
I hope I get matched up with you in the first round. I'm going to kick your ass.
I had Choppy last time, which wasn't fair. That was a tough first round
opponent. I got
Sean.
We went back and forth. It really came down to the clock, you know? Sean got me on the last drive.
Yeah, but that's advantage small hands compared to the sausage fingers, because you were probably overshooting that thing.
Brian,
you know, you
actually
pack a lot
got,
of power in those fingers.
That's true. I was wondering about the extra points, but Brian taught me nicely how to hold the ball correctly. So now I was nailing those.
That's the correct thing to do, is to perfect your PAT strategy.
Because you can lose.
It's going to come down to that.
Those points matter, man. They really, really do.
They do big time. Okay. G-Bag Nation, anything else to promote? We'll be at the Globe on Friday, so we hope to reconvene with you and cheer on the Rangers Friday night to a glorious home stretch of this season. It's time now for more On Baseball, brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's Wolchuk.
Heck yes. So we've got the starting lineups out for your All-Star game tomorrow night. Of course, we got the Home Run Derby tonight. Adolis Garcia looking to become the fourth person to win it in his home ballpark. But here are your starting lineups for the American and the National League. If you're wondering, where is Marcus Semien going to be batting? Well, it's going to be Stephen Kwan leading off of the Guardians. What's wrong?
I think we had the first all-time Dawson flatulence.
Oh, did you just?
It was a little bit audible.
Yeah, it was. It was a good trumpet.
I thought you answered a phone call and went hello.
The look on his face, he looked a little more surprised than even I was.
That's amazing, dude.
I thought it was
Welcome.
Me for a second.
Good push.
Wow, dude. Wolchuk's really starting to rub off on you.
Heck yeah, man. Gunnar Henderson at shortstop.
Donuts? Did you overpower the donuts second? Today?
Yeah, well, it was regular. It was donut shop donuts both days.
Okay, well, that'll get you.
That Remy, little Remy, coming up on three, has discovered the glory of the donut shop.
Oh, man, it is fun.
So every morning when she wakes up, she looks at me and goes, Daddy, can we go to the donut shop?
And you're just a sucker to please her, right? It's like, yeah, sure. It's not like I want them for myself. I'm doing this for you, honey.
Oh, yes. Especially not the blueberry cake ones.
Oh, man, those blueberry cakes are good. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez, Jose Ramirez, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Adley Rutschman, and Marcus Semien will be batting out of the 9 spot.
Corbin Reset Burns the lineup there.
Will be your starter. Yes, we got the lineup set for tomorrow night. And then in the National League, Kettle Marte, Shohei Ohtani, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper William Contreras, Christian Yelich, Alec Bohm, Teoscar Hernandez, Jurickson Profar, former Ranger there with the Padres, and then Paul Skenes, of course, your starter. Paul Skenes expected to just go one inning. I would assume that Corbin Burns does as well, but still, I'm expecting the immaculate inning there for Paul Skenes tomorrow, much like Corey talked about last Friday. I think that would be a blast, but regardless, it's going to be fun, and we're going to get the Skenes-Ohtani matchup, so that's going to happen because Ohtani's batting second in the National League lineup, so that's going to be a blast.
Dude, that's wonderful. I think I saw, is Semien batting in the nine hole?
I did just say that.
You did say that.
Yeah, went down the whole lineup.
I'm sorry. I'm still shaking up from the...
For the gas, the flatulence?
Yeah.
That's kind of disrespectful. So really. I mean... We're in Texas. Come on, let's put him in his appropriate spot.
I thought he should have been leaning off too.
You know, however you stack it, but I guess you know that kind of increases the chances that you play a little bit more at second base, stay out there for a little bit longer, make sure you get your AB.
Maybe it's three innings. Who knows? Yeah.
Maybe this is foreshadowing to the Rangers lineup second half of the season.
Oh no! Hopefully the bases are loaded and he just hits a grand slam, you know, from the nine hole, and then boom, we're good to go here. We did have some local products get selected in MLB's draft last night. We had the Red Sox taking A&M's Braden Montgomery. Outfielder, 12th overall. The Mets took Carson Benj, the outfielder from Oklahoma State. The Colorado Rockies took Jared Thomas, who's also out of Waxahachie High School, out of Texas. A&M pitcher went in the second round, Chris Cortex, along with Frisco Independent High School alum, Pittsburgh Pirates, Wyatt Sanford at shortstop. Went as well. So good showing from the local kids. Grapevine had another player selected. Dayson Hill, their left-handed pitcher, went to the Minnesota Twins. Pick 69 overall. So shout out to him. Nice. And we did mention earlier the Rangers taking Malcolm Moore, the catcher, in the first round. That draft will be wrapping up today. And the final thing as we go around the bases before we get into some college football news, we had another injury when it came to just anger. Marlins outfielder ended up kicking the clubhouse door after he was ejected from the game and he broke his bleeping ankle.
Ooh.
So Dane Myers, who is a reserve outfielder, he is going to be out for some time after he fractured his ankle. He gets ticked off. He gets ejected. There was a strike three. He didn't agree with the call. And then he goes in there, kicks the door, breaks his ankle. I mean, that's got to be extremely embarrassing if you're Dane Myers.
It is. You know, you wonder if maybe the spikes played a role in the unstable surface on his foot. Maybe he chose a bad kicking technique. You know, I've always felt like you want to go with the front heel kick or the slide up side kick, you know, for my karate history. You want to make sure you get a real strong connection without putting the foot in danger.
You're right. I mean,
thank you.
This is why I think we need to have one of those kind of foam wall areas that are dedicated for punches and kicks for angry dudes.
This is becoming a problem. This really is. So
maybe some mindfulness training.
Yeah, you're right. We do need some mindfulness training. Did you guys get the, are you going to get College Football 25? It's out now. Like if you ordered the paid $30 extra for the early release, people are playing it right now. I've got a buddy that did it. He's already been sending me pictures. He's super excited about it.
Yes.
But Friday will be the release for the regular people like myself who is going to order it, but I'm not going to pay the extra charge.
Yeah, a high school / college me would have been all over this for sure. I would have already been playing. But I haven't even had a console since college. That actually, I left it at the ex-fiance's place in the midst of that whole fiasco.
Okay.
So it was like my favorite T-shirt. It was my PS4 and of course, the actual engagement ring itself.
Hmm.
So, but if I could have any one of those back, it'd be the PS4.
Man. Yeah.
I'd like to think by now I would have upgraded to the 5.
You think you gave it to a new dude?
Probably, dude. Yeah, honestly.
He's probably loving it.
It's a selling point for the next guy. Like, sure, hey, is. This is also something that I do have.
I got some shirts for you, some hoodies.
Yeah.
PlayStation. Nah,
favorite T-shirt, dude. Just classic Walmart amazing. Black tee is just perfect. Missed that thing.
And 972, you're so right. I'm so used to Shohei Ohtani. This is his first time in the NL. I'm so used to him being in the American League. So he is batting second in the NL this year with the Dodgers. So Skenes will be facing Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, and Juan Soto. We'll see if he's able to go 1-2-3. Otherwise, we'll get the matchup with Aaron Judge, who is batting fourth for the Yankees. So there'll be some fun matchups there tomorrow with Skenes expected to go just one inning.
But now, Chief, I don't know about you, Wolchuk, Lucius, we're all dads in here, brought us. I can't justify the video games when the kids are small. I don't want to lose any of that time. And number two, they always want to do something. I don't have any time to like master a video game, you know, and I stopped playing the 100% football video games like 20 years ago. So I would have to learn all the mechanics of how it moves. I can only play video games if I already know how to play it so I can sit down and like try to enjoy myself for 30 or 45 minutes while I get wrecked, you know?
Yeah.
But like gaming these days is almost always online. There's experts out there and it's just not fun unless you have like days and weeks, which I did. There was a small window of time where Abby hit about 10 or 11 years old where she was kind of off doing her independent preteen thing. And I'd be like, wow, I have 3 hours with absolutely nothing to do. But as soon as the little one comes along, I don't think I've played much at all since then.
Like, yeah, it's like,
lucky, I guess, like, she's so young, right? So she's in bed asleep by 9 right now. Like, we've got her really on a good time schedule.
But that's still, like, that's ultimately when they're asleep is really your only time to capitalize.
Yeah. Otherwise, mom's side-eyeing you, like, what are you doing right now? I was just with baby all day at work, and now you want to come home, sit down, and turn on the video game? No. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah. I got at least another decade before I can even think about consoles and games.
But so. I'm going to try and sneak in as much time as I can with this one.
I got kind of lucky with having a little boy. So, you know, they think they're playing video games with you when they're not playing video games. You just give them the controller that's unplugged, not working.
100%,
dude. Yeah, and then when they finally get to play video games, you're playing video games together.
Yes. Yeah. They can get good at like 5 or 6.
That's just luck.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's father-son bonding at its finest.
I love that.
I was doing that to my little brother for years. Yeah here's a controller,
here you go,
bro.
Buddy. Go ahead and play with us.
But the joystick's broken.
No,
it's
winning,
fine.
Dude.
It still it plays
just
that's
you right there. Yeah. You're controlling them.
You're doing a great job.
You're killing it.
You're crushing
it. Dude, you just got a touchdown, bro.
So we had Nick Saban at SEC Media Days, and this is the first time he was there and was not a coach. So this was kind of new territory for Nick, and he's used to, you know, pulling up there. And he's having to deal like we always have with you get media credentials, right? So Nick, he might have forgotten the credential. He might have gotten kicked out. He might have had to bring the credential back. What happened as he was on Get Up with Greeny this morning?
It's a little different. I've never won a credential in my life and was always for 17 years able to get into SEC Media Day without a credential. I had to go back to the room today and get my credential to get in. So that's one of the biggest changes I see. It's not like it used to be.
I love the idea of the security guard. Like, I know who you are, Mr. Saban, but I can't let you in.
You would not catch me being that security guard turning away the goat.
Absolutely not. This is the one place in our country right now where we have stiff security. It's Nick Saban can't get into a college football conversation. He should be welcome at all times. He should have a master key to every single college football facility and venue across the country. He has carte blanche. Anytime you want to come and boot our head coach out of his office chair and you just want to go make yourself comfortable, Nick, show up, bro. This is yours.
No credentials needed for Saban.
I mean, my gosh.
He can just get wherever he wants to go.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. Like, he's got to turn around. He's got to go back to his hotel room, get the credential.
Dude, Mr. Super by the Rules guy is going to send Nick Saban back to his hotel room.
Oh, that is
amazing.
Give
me a break. This is a great opportunity to make a nice friend here, honestly. If anything, you should have had an oatmeal cream pie in your pocket ready to say, oh, coach, this is for you. Please, welcome in.
Or he was an Auburn.
Have at it.
Probably a fan of a rival school. Said, bleep yourself, Nick.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the events of the weekend have a lot of security staffs on edge.
Yeah, I would think that would be heightened. And now we probably should make sure we're doing this at all security levels. So, like, let's set the standard, guys. All right, no free passes here, even for you, Nick Saban. We got to do better as a country.
I can't wait for the investigation to come together on the presidential assassination attempt. It seems like there's so many unanswered questions. And this story, I mean, I could imagine there's going to be, you know, massive inside news coverage of it, maybe a movie. You know, like the background story on this kid, maybe being a conservative. He was in a BlackRock advertisement like a year ago, the big financial firm BlackRock that manages most of our 401ks and is one of the biggest players on the stock market. He was in one of their TV ads like a year ago. There's just so many fascinating things. But at the Hard Rock, I think that security got reamed so hard and were so on edge and maybe traumatized from the beginning of that game. That's why they were so staunch against the Colombian Soccer Federation and his son. They were put under advisory, like, you know, this is a no tolerance deal from this point forward. Nobody passes a checkpoint unless you're absolutely sure they're clear. And that erupted into some pretty significant violence as well.
Yeah, that was a crazy, crazy scene. Last thing here from Saban, is Texas going to be running the SEC?
That's always the challenge in the SEC. You know, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking these questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. You know, they're not going to run. run the SEC. There's a whole lot of arrogant people in a lot of places in the SEC, so they can forget all about that. They'll be a good team and a great program, and Sark will do a great job, but that's not going to be a problem.
All right, how about that?
I mean, they didn't even run the Big 12 for many of their years, long, long periods of time. So I think that's a good point. My hope is that Texas can just be one of the teams that, you know, makes a run through. Like dominating that is just it's too difficult with all the power that's in there.
I did like how Saban says this, but then they said, "All right, who's your pick for the SEC championship game?" And he goes, "Georgia and Texas." Let's go. But he's right. I mean, Texas won 4 conference championships in the Big 12. Oklahoma won 14. Baylor and Kansas State each with 3. So, yeah, it's not like Texas. Financially, maybe. But they didn't run the Big 12 on the football field. I don't anticipate they'll be running the SEC either. But it'll be fun to see how they do in their first year.
Thank you, Wool Chuck. A little sports hodgepodge is coming up next. Eric, what's on deck?
Yes, aren't we all feeling bad for this guy now? That's next to the Nation.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. Home Run Derby's coming up in 35 minutes. We'll have a preview of all the sluggers and who's pitching to them coming up in the final segment of the show. It's time now for a sports hodgepodge, and here's the Chief.
Right before our microphones turned on, Wolchuk just had some breaking news. What did you just say, Wolchuk?
Skip Bayless is out, Ski, man. Skip's done there with Undisputed and FS1. So bye-bye,
wow.
Skip Bayless.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp left that show. They tried to get Keyshawn and Sherman and Paul Pierce. Couldn't keep the thing going. Maybe Skip Bayless, maybe he's finally done, Ski.
I hope so.
Just would have just showed a little bit more respect.
That's really it.
That's all you had to do. Just a little bit more respect.
Yeah, how old is he now? I mean, it's still you could still chalk that up to one hell of a run, and you made all the bag in the world. You probably don't need this anymore, but I'm sure the ego in Skip Bayless, he's not going to stay away from a microphone. He's going to be Mike Francesa. He's going to just be dying at the podcast microphone is what he's going to do.
Yeah, he'll probably try and do the YouTube deal. Yeah, he's 72 years old. I will say, I mean, for 72, he's in pretty damn great shape.
Do you think anybody tunes in for that anymore? Like, I can't imagine.
It's a tune out. I mean, the takes that are coming out of that thing, it's pretty horrendous.
If it was crushing, I don't think he'd be out of there.
The last moment was DeMar Hamlin and Shannon Sharpe's reaction to him, right?
That yes. Was awful.
That
100%.
Probably was the final straw where Shannon was like, all right, I got to start figuring out my next move.
For Shannon, it was, but also I think for a lot of people that were holding out to, like, maybe they liked Skip. I mean, his whole take on that was just disgusting.
He just wanted to resume play and get the lifeless body off the field so he can snap another ball.
Like, I got to go to bed, man. Shannon didn't show up the next day either, right?
No,
he didn't show up.
And then when he showed up the following day and had his little monologue, Skip just kept interrupting him.
Yeah.
So there it is, RIP.
And then they fought about Brady being a better player than him, and he's like, I had a Hall of Fame career, Skip, and you'd want to just belittle me because you just like Tom Brady.
Put your glasses back on. That was it.
That was it, man. Well, are you guys, I mean, are we at the place now we can collectively just genuinely feel bad for Bronny James?
Yeah. I saw over the weekend he is talking G League now, and he seems to be up for it. So,
which is probably good.
Yeah,
he needs that. He needs to just be playing.
This was they had the perfect, not even excuse, but reason to say, hey, yes, it's been our lifelong family dream for father son to play together. He had the cardiac arrest situation that was extremely difficult to try and overcome. That's the easiest thing to say. Yeah, we had that, obviously unplanned. We're going to go, I wasn't myself this season at USC. Let me go ahead and run this back, whether at USC or any other school, portal that thing, go to a different one if you want to. But it just seems like that's the no-brainer, common sense thing to do. And now you have him running around there in the summer league, going 6 of 26 from the field overall, 23%, and a bagel from behind the arc, 0 for 12. And he's like, "Yeah, I just feel like I'm in a little slump right now." And he's just being made fun of across the internet in a huge way. And maybe he's able to avoid these things, but I would say probably not. I feel for him, dude. This is not the right play. And maybe he was 100% on board and he was part of what was pushing, no, I want to get to the NBA and play with Dad as quickly as possible. But, man.
It's hard to give up on a dream at 19 years old, right? So yeah. You're thinking, well, college is pretty good, but I want to get in with professional coaches. I want to be able to work around the clock, not have any practice limitations, this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, I mean, you have to have some level of awareness as far as how behind the eight ball you are. You know, if you get on the court with Dad this year, that's great, you know, but that's kind of the Lakers doing you a favor by making this dream come alive. So I think at this point, you know, he's just got to put his head down and grind, because when I watch him play, I think it's just the shot. That's the only thing. And if you can become a dead-eye shooter off the dribble, I think there's a legitimate NBA future in there. But if you've gotten to this stage in your life being obsessed with basketball and playing, I assume he's done a lot of shooting, and that might be as good as it gets.
Yeah, I would wonder if he had gone back, like, what if he had stayed? The production really didn't look any better, and your draft status kind of stays status quo, and then maybe it's even a worse look in that case.
But I guess, but it's not going to get much worse than the look that we have now. And either way, we've seen the strong arming was going to happen no matter what. Like, he was gonna, there's nothing he could have done to where, like, his production couldn't have been so bad that he doesn't make it to the Lakers.
Yeah,
that was just
they made it happen. And I guess maybe, like, for LeBron, he's like, who knows? You know, I could be year to year right now. So they made it happen. It's going to be, we'll get the pictures of it, you know, first week, and then we'll go from there. I mean, I hope Bronny, defensively, he is a good defender, and you know he's going to give you hustle and energy. So he could probably carve out a role as a bench player in the NBA for several years. But yeah, it's there's so much. He's being viewed under a microscope right now that he's not able to live up to. He's just not there.
It's tough to be the son of a GOAT, you know, and very, very few of them. I remember Jeffrey and Marcus Jordan, you know, coming up. And we got a little bit of, I believe, Jeffrey in D1 basketball at Illinois. And it's cool. But, you know, back then they were talking about how difficult it is to live in the shadow and try to play the sport. That's why a lot of the players actually don't want their kid playing their sport unless they absolutely love it. You know, they're just like, well, I'm going to let him figure out what he wants to do and go from there, because of the pressure and the hard work. And, you know, it's difficult when everybody's like, oh, there's LeBron's son, as soon as you walk in, to live up to that. That's just so much pressure and can take the fun out of it.
And now, in terms of life after basketball for Bronny James, he's got a career in video gaming.
Really?
Because he apparently won the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 tournament that took place in Vegas in conjunction with the NBA Summer League. So
was this all summer leaguers?
It wasn't just summer leaguers, because I see former Mav Grant Williams was second in the tournament. So I think it was just basketball players. I don't know if you just had, like, just gamers showing up to this thing. It would be even more impressive if that was the case and Bronny still won. He was going up against just, like, certified Call of Duty monsters, and that's just what they've dedicated themselves to. If Bronny got first in a situation like that, then even more impressive. But he's clearly pretty dang badass on the sticks. So, well, there's maybe something there.
Maybe he hasn't spent significant time practicing the shooting to get good at that game. There's a lot of absolute beasts out there.
Well,
it's going to take 30, 40 hours a week to be legendary.
Well, he was in 2020, he joined an esports gaming group, FaZe Clan. So he's kind of been on the gaming scene for a while. Maybe that's really his true calling.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, what a fun career that could be. You know?
There's money to be made in that now.
Now, we have apparently a collection of dudes throughout the world on the internet that have been reaching out to Angel Reese to be flown out like an Instagram model. Fly me out. You know, now the tables have turned. NBA players are doing this. Why can't you do this for some dudes?
Yeah, what the heck?
And you fly us
out.
She addressed these gentlemen on, I don't know, Instagram Live or something over the weekend.
Let me just say something. I just want to say one thing. The delusion of y'all thinking I'm finna fly any of y'all out. Yeah, like the delusion of thinking any one of us are flying y'all out. Be for real. Thank you.
She's not here for it. The joke was like, hey, if you don't got it, just say that. You know, like
it's giving broke to me.
It just proves once again that men are the real romantics. You know, we date down to the tax bracket. God. They refuse to. We're the ones that, you know, really actually like the person, not just what they can do for them.
Oh my God. What has your girl done romantic for you? Can you talk about it on the radio? Has she ever done anything romantic? You said, man, you know what? Wow, you really like it.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah. The devil thought he had me, but I got away.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's the most romantic thing? I don't know.
I guess she's a great cook.
That's good. That was romantic. Y'all got to eat. That's a necessity.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
My girl got me like some balloons and everything, but that was really for her. She took photos and like tagged it. Yeah. Like, you know, look what I did for him.
Right.
She wanted us to go on a cruise for my birthday. No, you wanted to go on the cruise, so now we're going on a cruise.
Now we got a baby.
Oh, her plan works.
First of all,
man.
You don't joke around with women.
My bad.
Did you guys see Jerry Rice get into a bit of an altercation?
What made him so angry? It seemed like he was just aggressive from the get-go. Like, was he having a bad day?
It's just Niner pride, dude. Like, this is a guy that, like, he bleeds red and gold. Because he was at the legendary American Century Championship. This was during the practice round and lead up to the tournament in Lake Tahoe, where all the celebrities go out there. And it would honestly be, like, a fun sort of summer bucket list thing to do, because it seems like the access you get to just superstar athletes, current and former, in basically all sports, celebrities, actors, singers, whatever. I mean, it's a who's who of people, and you're kind of right there getting to watch them golf. It seems like a fun thing to do, but he got into a tiff here. It was a pair of reporters that were asking some football questions, and he felt like they were trolling him. And I don't think he realized they were actually reporters. So he was like, I mean, the quote here, what's the exact quote that he said? You can see the video
like,
of it.
I will F you up.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I will F you up is the direct quote here. So he was like, he's not apologizing
he's
for this.
In their face, like, dude, try me. I will swing at you.
I'm going to defend San Francisco to the end here. This is a guy who's passionate, man. I mean, if you're a Niners fan, you kind of love this.
They let him walk over there to their face with a golf club in their hand.
Yes.
Like, they don't understand what being secure and safe is. No man's going to walk up to me with a golf club in his hand. I'm stepping back.
Yeah. I'm
stepping the right foot back so I can swing or something.
As a golfer, I can almost guarantee he was coming off a triple bogey the previous hole.
Couldn't agree more. This is a tough round for Jerry that day, and he was at his wit's end with his own level of play, and now anything is going to throw him off. But
still in pretty good shape, man. Great shape, I'd say.
Great shape. Phenomenal. Yeah. Him and Michael, both tremendous shape. 940 says that Chiefs reporter's been trolling him since the Super Bowl.
Okay, because that guy's, like, patently denying it, but I'm sure this was...
I would understand why he comes out so aggressive. If this dude has just been trolling me nonstop for months, I get it. Otherwise, yeah, he's having a really bad day on the course.
I would say just friendly PSA out there for the lady UFC fighters. Let's not go with the trying to doll it up for the octagon, because we had a lady take a lefty hook to the face, and as she was falling to the mat, KO style, her fake eyelash was flying up into the sky.
She wore fake eyelashes in a fight?
She did.
She absolutely did. And Wolchuk, what have you said? Like, she's maybe the leader in attractiveness now amongst
she's,
UFC.
She's very attractive.
Players. So she probably feels like a personal standard she needs to uphold here, but just not worth it. Not worth trying. You know, you don't need lipstick and fake eyelashes flying around as you're getting KO'd here. Not a good look for you. The slow motion where she is falling to the mat and then her eyelashes are leaving her face. It's pretty incredible. And I would just encourage that to be, like, let that be a lesson to everybody out there.
Don't fight Thug Rose with fake eyelashes.
Is that her now? Rose Namajunas?
So the one whose eyelashes popped, that's who won the fight. Tracy Cortez is who wore the fake eyelashes.
Okay, so I saw, like, the last 2.5 rounds of that. I think she got knocked down in the first round.
She did. I thought the fight was about to be over. She weathered the storm.
The Rose gal with the shaved head fights like a dude.
She's a badass. Former champ.
The freaking truth.
Yes.
I was like, wow.
She's coming in here like G.I. Jane, giving no F's about her appearance. And this girl's coming in here with her nails done and fake eyelashes. And she paid the price.
Yep.
End of an era. I don't know. I don't even remember the last time I saw one of these. But apparently, Redbox is officially shutting down.
Yeah.
After 22. Lucius told us about this last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, that is... That was a college staple for me. I used to love swinging through the red box, seeing what was cooking.
We were talking about this. Lucius, you said, 2012 might have been the last time that you went. And then for me, I walked up to a Kroger the other day. I had to stop and get something on the way home. And I saw a red box. I'm like, I can't. Does anyone use this anymore? Like, what's everything's on streaming now? Or if I really want something, I can rent it on Amazon Prime. There's just not a need for it.
Yeah, it must have been a very niche market by the end.
One of the things I used the red box for. Like recently, I would go over there and see what the new movies were, see if I could find them on streaming somewhere. Because they're really good at letting you know what movies are out there, where they were. At
ooh,
one point.
Okay. So you just kind of window shop it there, take it home to the stream.
Take it home and find it on the stream.
You're like, no, please, please, order here.
Walchuk, you said you were running through the Kroger. You couldn't remember what you were buying. I'm sure you were going to get that new Bluebell ice cream. That dessert mashup. Did you see the cookies and cream cheesecake combo?
That was
combo?
A big deal for us on Friday.
Dude, I'm sure Dawson wasn't. No, the cheesecake
I don't
thing.
Know why they had to ruin that perfectly good cookies.
Yeah, they
I
are kind of messing with a good thing here. But delicious. I'm interested in the cheesecake twist to the cookies and cream Bluebell ice cream. I will be giving this a go for sure.
I just hope they don't take out the Coinstar. You know, that's my favorite kiosk that you find around a grocery store.
Yes, the Coinstar is a difference. But your next thing you know, I've got $50 here.
I used to pile up change right and left. Yeah. You know, you get one of those big water reservoirs and you just drop it in there,
dude.
Every 6 months
your
or so.
Your little piggy bank style, take it to the grocery store, see what you can cash in on.
That was amazing in the 20s, you know, not the 1920s, in my 20s.
The roaring 20s.
The beer money, the beer money reservoir is what that ended up being. Okay, we got to run. When we come back, it's time to set you up for the Home Run Derby. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock, and we're back to set that up here next to the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. Will tonight be the night for Adolis Garcia? The Home Run Derby is going to be underway in 12 minutes right here on your Home of the Champs. We have a little preview on all the hitters and their pitcher that they have selected to throw them the balls. Here coming up tonight. Before we get there, gentlemen, give me 30 seconds, okay? We report to Oxnard in 9 days. Let's say coming up in 14 days, the following Monday after the weekend, what would make you super bullish on this football team?
Oh, man, it's really the trench play, man. It's if all of a sudden Tyler Guyton's out there and he's looking respectable against Marcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, and we're like, okay, they got another big-time first-round offensive lineman, and then Cooper Beebe is getting run with the ones and is your starting center as he should be, and he's every bit as good as I hope that he will be. That can really change the outlook of this season. All of a sudden, your offensive line's good again. Cha-ching, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think part of the reason why I am much more down on them this year than in the past is because of the giant question marks on the offensive line. And I like what they did there in terms of big picture. Guyton and Beebe should be super solid, especially with the Cowboys' track record. But day one, for those guys to come in and be a stud at left tackle and a stud at center, the two most difficult positions, especially for a guy in BB who we know he's capable of it, but it's not like he's a natural center.
Sure.
He's been a move positions kind of guy. So I just think it's a lot to ask, especially early on in the season. Can you stay afloat with your coach being in a lame duck year, your quarterback in a similar situation? If you get to a shaky start, can you hang tough here and let the young guys on the offensive line get some skins on the wall and hopefully progress as the season goes on? And then defensively, what are you getting from Trayvon Diggs? He's probably a guy that, as the season goes on, will get better coming off the injury. And then Mozzie Smith on the interior. I think he is so important there because they have nothing behind him. And they're going to be at least better at stopping the run based on the Zimmer scheme and some of the moves they've made to get real linebackers here. But if you don't have a one technique that can be a space eater and keep those linebackers clean, you're going to continue to get pushed around. And in a new defense, it could take some time to just everybody to start to gel. So I think the staying afloat and just holding your water a little bit until, you know, for the first 6 weeks or so of the season, and then hopefully the defense starts to click and guys like Trayvon Diggs off the injury can start to come into their own and the young guys on the offensive line can grow. But you're asking a lot.
Yeah, you really are. You know, I think you guys nailed it, though. Give me the two rookie offensive linemen being, you know, above average or just respectable in the pass game and good in the run game. We need that young power and athleticism to impact the run game. But Mozzie Smith, you nailed it. I think he has a chance to be like a bounce back player of the year. Just putting him in his college role will be great. Sure. You add the Mike Zimmer factor, and I think we should put him on like breakout alert or bounce back year alert. Okay, let's get through as many of these hitters as we can. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. Pete Alonso of the Mets participating in this for a fifth time. He says to honor his childhood dream of competing in this event. That's why he keeps coming back for more. Obviously, it can be a bit of a grind, and you know, usually guys do it a couple of times and they're done with it. But he's trying to join Ken Griffey Jr. as the only three-time winner of the Derby. And he is reuniting with former Mets coach Dave Joss, who Alonso ran into when he attended the Mets-Phillies game in England last month.
Wow.
How good is Joss at throwing batting practice? MLB uses him to throw in its overseas hitting exhibitions in the past. When they send dudes over to be like, hey, take a look at what major league players can do, they send Joss out there to freaking throw meatballs. So maybe, that's Pete Alonso's secret weapon. He's going to be throwing to Pete here tonight.
It's important. You need to make sure you've got somebody that's good. So I'm hoping Franmi Pena, who did it last year with Julio Rodriguez and is throwing to Adolis tonight. I hope he's got a good showing because we need Adolis to go ahead and win this thing.
Alec Bohm played in the 2016 Coastal Plain League while he was enrolled at Wichita State, and he participated in the Home Run Derby there. Scott Wingo was one of Bohm's coaches, threw to him, and Bohm won that. So he's bringing back one of his college coaches be out there for him tonight. Adolis Garcia, you just mentioned the advantage of being at home in Arlington, and he said in a conversation last week he expects Rangers fans will support him. Become the fourth player to win in his home park after Ryan Sandberg in 1990, Todd Frazier 2015, and Bryce Harper in 2018. We had Rafi Palmeiro on the show 4 hours ago at the top of the 3 o'clock hour if you want to listen to that. And he felt like the home crowd in a home run derby could very well push you over the top. I mean, the adrenaline's going to kick in.
Yes, especially for a guy like Bomby, who just electrifies the crowd. He brings it out of them. And then he's a guy that really rises when the atmosphere is electric like that. Like, he really feeds into that. So hopefully Rangers fans are out there really giving him some love. It would be great if he can do his thing out there tonight.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
You know, if he uses this as like a springboard to an amazing second half of the
right,
season, that's what
yeah.
we really need.
Let this be like a little slump buster for you, Dolly.
Indeed. Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. Manager Brandon Hyde believes Henderson has a shot to win the Derby because of his raw power. Globe Life Field known to be more friendly to left-handed hitters than right. Henderson and Ramirez, a switch hitter, the only batters in the field who can swing from that left side. Buck Britton, the brother of longtime pitcher Zach Britton, and the AAA manager in the Orioles organization, will throw to Henderson. The two have practiced at Camden Yards. Henderson's close friend and teammate, Colton Cowser, will be his timekeeper. Only two shortstops have won the Derby before, one of them being Cal Ripken Jr., the other being Miguel Tejada.
Oh, it was Miguel Tejada.
Yeah.
Okay.
2004, he actually beat Palmeiro and A-Rod.
What was a classic all-star home run derby that was. That's amazing.
It was an incredible time to be a baseball fan there when Tejada, you know, all those A's were doing their thing. Okay, and then Teoscar Hernandez, the last entrant to announce his participation, well before it was released publicly, he had asked Ebel if he could throw to him, if Hernandez's entry became official. Ebel said yes, having enjoyed his three previous derbies, sharing in a championship with Vladimir Guerrero Sr. in 2007 and throwing to Albert Pujols in 2015 and Jock Peterson in 2019. So this guy is one of the legends of the Derby and highly sought after. So, and then, of course, you have Marcell Ozuna there of the Atlanta Braves. Jose Yepes, Atlanta's bullpen catcher, is going to be thrown to him. Ozuna, 33 years old. If he wins, he'll be the fourth oldest to ever get it done. The oldest, David Ortiz, who was just slightly older there, 34 years, 247 days when he won. So I do think endurance becomes a bigger factor in this. And, of course, Jose Ramirez is getting Junior Betances, the hitting coach of the Columbus Clippers, going to throw to him as he did in 2022. No switch hitter has ever won the Derby outright. Ruben Sierra shared the title with Eric Davis back in 1989. So a lot of history here on the line tonight.
Looks like a packed house as well. Seeing some pictures from Medford and from Reggie who are out there, and it looks like that is that's a packed sellout situation.
Right on. Well, have fun. Can't wait to get home. Hopefully Adolis puts on a show for us. We'll have it to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is going to be cut short 1 hour because the MLB All-Star Game official pregame will get underway at 6 o'clock. For Lucius Alexander there in the Pimp Cup, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. For Brian Broaddus, who's at the Derby, Woolchuck and Chia follow. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation at ease. Thank you, Lucius. Will tonight be the night for Adolis Garcia? The Home Run Derby is going to be underway in 12 minutes right here on your home of the champs. We have a little preview on all the hitters and their pitcher that they have selected to throw them the balls here coming up tonight. Before we get there, gentlemen, give me 30 seconds, okay? We report to Oxnard in 9 days. Let's say coming up in 14 days, the following Monday after the weekend, what would make you super bullish on this football team?
Oh man, it's really the trench play, man. It's if all of a sudden Tyler Guyton's out there and he's looking respectable against Marcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, and we're like, okay, they got another big time first round offensive lineman, and then Cooper Beebe is getting run with the ones and is your starting center as he should be, and he's every bit as good as I hope that he will be. That can really change the outlook of this season. All of a sudden your offensive line's good again. Yeah, cha-ching, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think part of the reason why I am much more down on them this year than in the past is because of the giant question marks on the offensive line. And I like what they did there in terms of big picture. Guyton and Beebe should be super solid, especially with the Cowboys' track record. But day one, for those guys to come in and be a stud at left tackle and a stud at center, the two most difficult positions, especially for a guy in Beebe, who we know he's capable of it, but it's not like he's a natural center.
Sure.
He's been a move positions kind of guy. So I just think it's a lot to ask, especially early on in the season. Can you stay afloat with your coach being in a lame duck year, your quarterback in a similar situation? If you get to a shaky start, can you hang tough here and let the young guys on the offensive line get some skins on the wall and hopefully progress as the season goes on? And then defensively, what are you getting from Trayvon Diggs? He's probably a guy that, as the season goes on, will get better coming off the injury. And then Mozzie Smith on the interior. I think he is so important there because they have nothing behind him, and they're going to be at least better at stopping the run based on the Zimmer scheme and some of the moves they've made to get real linebackers here. But if you don't have a one technique that can be a space eater and keep those linebackers clean, you're going to continue to get pushed around. And in a new defense, it could take some time to just everybody to start to gel. So I think the staying afloat and just holding your water a little bit until, you know, for the first 6 weeks or so of the season, and then hopefully the defense starts to click and guys like Trayvon Diggs off the injury can start to come into their own, and the young guys on the offensive line can grow. But you're asking a lot.
Yeah, you really are. You know, I think you guys nailed it, though. Give me the two rookie offensive linemen being, you know, above average or just respectable in the pass game and good in the run game. We need that young power and athleticism to impact the run game. But Mozzie Smith, you nailed it. I think he has a chance to be like a bounce back player of the year. Just putting him in his college role will be great. Sure. You add the Mike Zimmer factor, and I think we should put him on like breakout alert or bounce back year alert. Okay, let's get through as many of these hitters as we can. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. Pete Alonso of the Mets participating in this for a fifth time. He says to honor his childhood dream of competing in this event. That's why he keeps coming back for more. Obviously, it can be a bit of a grind, and you know, usually guys do it a couple of times and they're done with it. But he's trying to join Ken Griffey Jr. as the only three-time winner of the Derby. And he is reuniting with former Mets coach Dave Joss, who Alonso ran into when he attended the Mets-Phillies game in England last month.
Wow.
How good is Joss at throwing batting practice? MLB uses him to throw in its overseas hitting exhibitions in the past. When they send dudes over to be like, hey, take a look at what major league players can do, they send Joss out there to freaking throw meatballs. So maybe, you know, that's Pete Alonso's secret weapon. He's going to be throwing to Pete here tonight.
It's important. You need to make sure you've got somebody that's good. So I'm hoping Franmi Pena, who did it last year with Julio Rodriguez and is throwing to Adolis tonight. I hope he's got a good showing because we need Adolis to go ahead and win this thing.
Alec Bohm played in the 2016 Coastal Plain League while he was enrolled at Wichita State, and he participated in the home run derby there. Scott Wingo was one of Bohm's coaches, threw to him, and Bohm won that. So he's bringing back one of his college coaches be out there for him tonight. Adolis Garcia, you just mentioned, the advantage of being at home in Arlington, and he said in a conversation last week he expects Rangers fans will support him, become the fourth player to win in his home park after Ryan Sandberg in 1990, Todd Frazier 2015, and Bryce Harper in 2018. We had Rafi Palmeiro on the show 4 hours ago at the top of the 3 o'clock hour if you want to listen to that. And he felt like the home crowd in a home run derby could very well push you over the top. I mean, the adrenaline's going to kick in.
Yes, especially for a guy like Bombi, who just electrifies the crowd. He brings it out of them. And then he's a guy that really rises when the atmosphere is electric like that. Like, he really feeds into that. So hopefully Rangers fans are out there really giving him some love. It'd be great if he can do his thing out there tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if he uses this as like a springboard to an amazing second half of the season, that's what we really need.
Let this be like a little slump buster for you, Dolly.
Indeed. Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. Manager Brandon Hyde believes Henderson has a shot to win the Derby because of his raw power. Globe Life Field known to be more friendly to left-handed hitters than right. Henderson and Ramirez, a switch hitter, are the only batters in the field who can swing from that left side. Buck Britton, the brother of longtime pitcher Zach Britton, and the AAA manager in the Orioles organization, will throw to Henderson. The two have practiced at Camden Yards. Henderson's close friend and teammate, Colton Cowser, will be his timekeeper. Only two shortstops have won the Derby before, one of them being Cal Ripken Jr., the other being Miguel Tejada.
Oh, it was Miguel Tejada.
Yeah.
Okay.
2004, he actually beat Palmeiro and A-Rod.
What a classic all-star home run derby that was. That's amazing.
It was an incredible time to be a baseball fan there when Tejada, you know, all those A's were doing their thing. Okay, and then Teoscar Hernandez, the last entrant to announce his participation, well before it was released publicly, he had asked Ebel if he could throw to him if Hernandez's entry became official. Ebel said yes, having enjoyed his three previous derbies, sharing in a championship with Vladimir Guerrero Sr. in 2007 and throwing to Albert Pujols in 2015 and Jock Peterson in 2019. So this guy is one of the legends of the Derby and highly sought after. So and then, of course, you have Marcell Ozuna there of the Atlanta Braves. Jose Yepes, Atlanta's bullpen catcher, is going to be throwing to him. Ozuna, 33 years old. If he wins, he'll be the fourth oldest to ever get it done. The oldest, David Ortiz, who was just slightly older there, 34 years, 247 days when he won. So I do think endurance becomes a bigger factor in this. And, of course, Jose Ramirez is getting Junior Betances, the hitting coach of the Columbus Clippers, going to throw to him as he did in 2022. No switch hitter has ever won the Derby outright. Ruben Sierra shared the title with Eric Davis back in 1989. So a lot of history here on the line tonight.
Looks like a packed house as well. Seeing some pictures from Medford and from Reggie who are out there, and it looks like that's a packed sellout situation.
Right on. Well, have fun. Can't wait to get home. Hopefully Adolis puts on a show for us. We'll have it to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is going to be cut short 1 hour because the MLB All-Star Game official pregame will get underway at 6 o'clock. For Lucius Alexander there in the Pimp Cup, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. For Brian Broaddus, who's at the Derby, Woolchuck and Chia follow. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation at ease.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.